What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. We are post-Thanksgiving. We're diving into the Sunday slate. It's Brian and lead analyst here over at QB List. We've got Jay in the house. How are you doing tonight?
Good, man. I'm excited to do this with you. It's first time, you know, we've done plenty of shows together, but not the start sit, you know, PTI kind of style, and I'm pumped. This is going to be fun.
Absolutely. We're stretching the bounds of fantasy here with this one. 3 minutes for each start sit, all of the Sunday games and Monday, 12 in total. Before we get into it, though, I mean, everybody's talking about it, so I feel like, you know, we got to bring up some of it. Thanksgiving, how'd it go for you?
I ate way too much and fell asleep, you know, you always fall asleep the second game about halftime. It's like, take that little going into the second quarter, wake up about middle of the third, and then eat some more.
Just in time, as Scott Hansen would say, you got to wake up for the witching hour there. Exactly. On that that second game, and then you're pumped and ready for that third one. It was a good one. It's a good one. Always eat too much, regret it afterwards, but plenty of leftovers the next day.
You're in the South, so I'm assuming you're probably on my side. Is mac and cheese a Thanksgiving food?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've heard some hot takes that mac and cheese doesn't belong on the Thanksgiving table. I recorded a show with Alfredo Brown a couple of days ago, and he said the same thing. Apparently, some people think it's not. I don't get it. I said, mac and cheese is always welcome on my table. It doesn't matter whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's 3 a.m., 3 p.m. Mac and cheese is like pizza. If it's good, it's even if it's bad, it's still good.
It's hard to mess up. And honestly, I've kind of taken it over with my family. You know, my mom's gotten to the point where she does her two star dishes. She passes out the rest to me, my brothers, my wife, and mac and cheese. I always grab it. It's hard to screw up. I can do it with after a champagne bottle through in the morning. I can still make it. You know, I can still manage to figure that out. Exactly. Favorite Thanksgiving side or food, what would you say it is?
I'm a deviled eggs guy. I can throw down on some deviled eggs.
Dude, my brother looks like Joey Chestnut, the way he just tears into the deviled eggs. I don't even think I got any yesterday because of that. I'm a big sweet potato guy, though. Love me some mashed potatoes and gravy. It's too chalk to take that. So give me sweet potatoes. I feel like I'm eating dessert while we're sitting around the dinner table.
You do the melted marshmallows on top a little bit with some brown sugar sometimes.
So my wife makes them, and she didn't like sweet potatoes before she met me. I introduced them to them. She started eating them. She does a nice, like, buttery brown sugar pecan thing on top, but she doesn't do the marshmallows. Ooh. I'm cool with it. Okay. It's still sweet, but like, we'll get her to the marshmallows. Give me a few more.
Yeah, we'll get there. It takes some time, but you know, hey, just to get her there, you know, doing sweet potato fries in the air fryer.
Ooh.
Throw them in there and then drizzle a little honey on there while they're in there cooking.
There you go. Yeah. And this is the wrap up of the food podcast here.
I am
hungry. But yeah, folks, we're going through the final 12 games on the slate. Mind you, we are recording this on Wednesday evening, just before the Thursday games actually have happened. So practice reports, we're going to give you as much as we can, give you as many scenarios as we can, whether guys are in, guys are out. So stay close to those rankings there on the QB list, where we have all four of us putting our rankings in. So check those out. Check those practice reports. Stay vigilant over there on the website. But without further ado, let's kick this bad boy off. Alrighty, first one, we're going to start with the 9-2 Rams taking on the 6-6 Panthers in Carolina. It's a 44.5 point over under, and LA is favored by 10.5. Starting off with these QBs, Bryce Young, it's pretty easy to ignore this week, but Matt Stafford, talk to me about him.
Yeah, I'm at the point with Matthew Stafford that doesn't matter the matchup, doesn't matter the scenario, he's locked into my lineup every single week. Everybody thought that Devontae Adams would basically be the goal line wide receiver, and it's come to fruition. I mean, it's incredible. And it's similar to Dak Prescott, when you got Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, you're comfortable starting their quarterback no matter what.
30-2 touchdown interception ratio for Matt Stafford right now. It's hard to walk away from points like that.
And I think we may have touched on this on the other show, but we were all in agreement that back issue that he had in the offseason was complete BS, right? Like, there's no way that was actually a thing.
Yeah, all it did was hurt the ADP of Puka, Adams, and, I mean, Stafford. When I was doing my draft rankings, I continuously tried to fit him somewhere in that, like, 15-12 range.
Yeah.
Because we were taking two wide receivers at the top. Why wouldn't you? Right? But then there's like the, oh, what about Jordan Love? Well, Trevor Lawrence could be having a year. And Caleb Williams. So, like, he kept scooting down because he had no rushing floor. But sometimes these anomaly touchdown years happen.
Exactly.
Coming down here to two running backs, I feel like you feel pretty safe. They've got a decent floor in Kyren Williams and Rico Dowdle. But both coming off kind of disappointing games this past week. Kyren Williams looks like he's giving up a bit of work to Blake Corum there. But also it was a tough matchup against Tampa Bay in the 12 for 46.
Yeah, and I'm perfectly fine. I still actually, I still see Kyren Williams as an RB1 this week, especially against the Panthers. They've given up four rushing touchdowns and 131 rushing yards per game since week 10. Kyren, even though there was a stretch where Corum was getting more and more work, it's kind of slowed down a little bit, and Kyren has had his usual allotment of touches, so I'm still pretty comfortable with him as that borderline wide receiver one. And same thing for Dowdle. It's as long as the Panthers use him, which I give Dave Canales credit. It came out today that Rico Dowdle was upset, talked about it, and he admitted the mistake and said, we got to fix it. Like, you know what? If that's what I would want a head coach.
Somebody's humble enough to say, hey, we didn't get it right. We're going to right the ship. We're going to get this figured out. The Rams, it's a hard rushing matchup, so even if they can't get Rico Dowdle the amount of touches and up to speed, he's got 9 catches over his last 2 games. 91 yards across those 2 through the air as well, so I think that's enough to make sure that he doesn't ruin your day. As for the wide receivers, Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, need we say more?
Start him.
Tet McMillan on the other side, though, or Tetaroa, as Mommy McMillan wants me to say, but I probably won't because it's too many syllables. Sorry, man. Sorry, buddy.
You know, we're American. We want to say as much as possible in as little as possible. It's like Kevin on The Office said, why say more word when you do trick?
Exactly. Tet McMillan, me play.
Me play. No wide receiver one. Wide receiver two.
Yeah, wide receiver two there, but it's inevitable. You got to put him out there. Who wins the game?
We're not playing him, but I have to add this in there. Not sure if you've seen the video from last year when Xavier Leggett was on with the Amon-Ra, with the St. Brown brothers. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
Go take a look at, I'll send it to you after this in my start set. I put the video. Xavier Leggett apparently eats raccoon for Thanksgiving. So.
Oh, God.
Straight out of his mouth as well. So,
yeah. Cannot imagine what that table looks like there for the Leggett family. LA is a 10.5-point favorite. Who wins it?
Yeah, it's going to be the Rams pretty easily.
Yeah, I like the Panthers when they're dogs. I like them to cover the points, but this one, just the Rams are hot. The Rams are hot, and they've got a chance to really separate themselves and lock in that number one overall spot. So, yeah, give me the win there. Next up, going to Cleveland. We've got the 8-4 Niners taking on the 3-8 Bears, and this it's a wild weather game. This game opened up at 40.5 points. It's dropped down to 36.5 points. San Francisco favored by 4.5 here. So Brock Purdy, Shador Sanders, either one of them in consideration for starts in single quarterback?
I really don't even want to start Brock Purdy. And just to clarify, you said the Bears, the Browns, just for people listening, just so they know. I know you know. I know that you know. You know, we're actually testing them. But yeah, I tell you what, man, Brock Purdy did not look good on Monday, excuse me. I mean, some of the throws that we haven't seen him attempt over his career. He's been the safe, making the smart throws. You know, you're gonna throw picks here and there, but the interceptions on 3 consecutive drives is just really concerning, and it makes me wonder if the lack of that top end talent at wide receiver is starting to impact him. They know, you know, teams know if they can try to take away George Kittle. I mean, Jennings is fine and Pearsall is fine, but there's no Ayuk and Debo.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That on top of the weather, I'm trying to avoid both these guys. I got Purdy at 18, Shador. He's not up there. Running backs. I mean, really the excitement, I think, is just start and ends with the running backs and tight ends for me. Christian McCaffrey, Quinshon Judkins, you're starting both of them. I've got Judkins more of like a low-end RB2 for me this week. CMC, yeah, obviously, the RB1. How are you feeling about him?
Yeah, I'm with you on both of those. And I love Quinshon Judkins. I think it's one of the guys you have to be careful to not fall in love with because of the volume and consider him an RB1. That lack of involvement in the passing game, and as abysmal as this offense is, they're not going to be around the end zone too much. So I love Judkins. I got him everywhere, but you have to be realistic with what their ceiling is, and not being involved in the passing game just keeps him out of that RB1 territory.
Yep, they're going to continue to stack the box as they have with him. He hasn't been over 4 yards a carry since week 5. He's getting the touches, 16, 17, 22, 25. But unless he gets in the end zone, it's a disappointing day. So I see at least one touchdown coming his way. They don't want Shador throwing it when they get close.
Do not. That was obvious when weren't both of them Wildcat touchdowns for Judkins last week?
Yeah. Goodness.
Insane.
For the wide receivers here, you've got Jennings, Pearsall, Tillman, Judy. Are there any that you want to start, and or how are you viewing them?
On the Browns, absolutely not. Nobody I'm interested in from the wide receivers. Jennings, I think, is a fine wide receiver 3. I'm not starting Pearsall until we start seeing some sort of production. You know, give him a little grace. I know it's going to take some time, but 2 back-to-back games like that, like you said, the bad weather. No thanks.
Yeah, I was hoping that after that first game, it was just going to be them ramping them up from injury. But we saw it last year. Jennings was the guy when it came to first read routes. He's dominated them. He continues. Purdy has been a huge fan. So I'm trying to fade all of them. Jennings, I agree with you there. Wide receiver 3. But these rest of these guys I can find to sit. George Kittle, I like as a tight end 1. And Harold Fannin, I like him as a fringe tight end 1 this week.
Yeah, absolutely. He's done enough to show that he doesn't, you know, he can do a lot with a little. He can take one to the house, and like you said, with the weather, probably going to keep the passing game kind of short.
Yeah, if he just gets peppered with targets, you know, if he has a 6 for 45 day, it's still going to get you do you fine. And Shador had a couple deep passes, you know, that looked pretty good. One of which went to Fannin, so I'm hopeful again. Whether you're on the hate or the love side for Shador, good quarterbacks is good for the NFL. So I'm just happy with that. Who do you have winning it?
Oh, what's the spread again?
4.5 to San Francisco.
I think I'll take if we're talking spread, I think I could Cleveland.
I'll take Cleveland money line in this one. It's just
really.
I liked them last week too. Something about this team, just defense is good, man. It's good playing at home, wild weather. Let's go for the wildness.
The 49ers aren't that good.
No, the injuries have absolutely riddled this team, unfortunately. Next up, divisional game. We've got the 6-5 Texans going into Indy, playing the 8-3 Colts. 44.5 point over under. Indy's favored by 4.5.
How's that feel to say 8-3 Colts, by the way, as a Colts fan? I saw you light up a little bit.
It's been a while, man. It's been, and I was so pessimistic coming into the season. Just
I don't blame
as a fan,
you.
I try to separate the fandom and the analyst a bit so I don't have the biased take. But they got me giddy this year. It's been a while since they've been good. My wife has a video of me finding out the moment that Andrew, it was me and my brother sitting on the couch, finding out that Andrew Luck was retiring. Like, she just happened to be recording at that second. And like, I have to relive that pretty often. Anytime I annoy her, she sends me that video.
we had my home league draft that night. And the guy who drafted Andrew Luck went all in. Like, it was that, it's an auction league. And he was spending whatever it took. We were sitting there playing poker, and then I said some words that I'm not going to say on air. Andrew Luck just retired, and they were all laughing. Like, no, legitimately, Andrew Luck just retired. He was so upset. He got up, he left the poker game, and left. He got out of Dodge. He was so upset.
Look at that. I'm welling up. I can't do it. Just like I can't play either one of these quarterbacks. CJ Stroud, it looks like he's progressing through the concussion protocol. Finally, full practice. I don't want to start either one of these quarterbacks in this game, though.
Yeah, one QB leagues, there's no chance. I think depending on your options in Superflex, Daniel Jones is a solid QB too, but I would much prefer to not start him if didn't have to. You know, this is the defense that held Josh Allen without a touchdown a week after he threw 6. I mean, excuse me, scored 6, not threw 6. But yeah, I think he was better last week, but I got to say, I'm a little concerned with the turnover issue that he had over the previous 2 games. when you get pressure on Daniel Jones, I would obviously know as a Giants fan, because that's all he saw as a Giant was pressure. He tends to start making some dumb mistakes. So I hope that's not the case. I think he'll be fine, but that was a little concerning.
Yes, a little nervous. I've got him down at 17 this week in the same breath of like Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Brock Purdy. For running back, JT is tried and true. You're hoping he continues to carry your teams to the playoffs and to that championship. Talk to me about Woody Marks and or probably not Nick Chubb. Again, we don't have anybody on bye. We're going to probably say this the whole episode. So Nick Chubb shouldn't have to be in the realm for you. But talk to me about Woody Marks.
I got to be honest with you. I don't even think Chubb at this point should be rostered. You know, we were teased earlier in the year that the Woody Marks takeover would happen. And then they started to feed Nick Chubb again. But I think this is for real this time. Over the past three games, he's handled 72% of the snaps, 67% of the carries. And Chubb, for some reason, has exactly 19.7 both snaps and carries. And, I mean, it's not a great matchup against the Colts. They've held running backs to an average of 77 yards per game. But I think with the workload, and this is going to be a low-scoring game, I think both teams are going to try to control the game on the ground. Woody Marks, the volume, keeps him at a RB2 range.
Yeah, same. That's where I've got him, kind of a low-end with low-end RB2 with upside. As far as pass catchers, it's kind of Nico Collins, Michael Pittman, and I'm out. As far as tight ends and wide, well, Tyler Warren, of course, we're going to put him out there. But any thoughts on these three players and or any other players you're looking at?
Yeah, if you're, you know, if injuries, like we've said about six times and probably 16 more, with nobody on bye, there's definitely a lot more options than usual. But if you're in a situation, you had a lot of injuries, whatever, and you need a flex, I think Jaden Higgins is not somebody I'm looking to force in my lineup, but I would be okay with, considering he's had seven more targets in three straight games. And, you know, he's not going to have that league winning upside with this offense, but he could be having, you know, the typical rookie end of season surge to get him in that consistent flex wide receiver three type of value, as long as he continues to see this type of target share.
Jaden Higgins or Keenan Allen?
Gonna go, the matchup. I think I'm gonna go Higgins.
Higgins or Parker Washington against Tennessee?
Ooh. Parker Washington.
Ricky Pearsall or Jaden Higgins?
Higgins.
Cool. Nice. Tyler Warren, like we said, we're playing him. He's hasn't been perfect. He hasn't been winning any weeks lately, but he's going to be as consistent as it is. Who wins the game?
Sorry.
Don't do it to me. Come on, Jake.
I'm sorry. If it's Davis Mills, I think the Texans. If it's C.J. Stroud, I think the Colts. And that hurts because I like C.J. Stroud, but Davis Mills, like, it's just, it feels like he fits the team better.
Yeah, he's moving the ball better. That's definitely true. I'm going to take the Colts. I've doubted them too much this year. I got to go with the boys. Got to go with the boys. Let's go to Miami. Talking the 2-9 Saints against the 4-7 Dolphins. The 41.5 point. Yeah, we do. Don't worry, folks. We'll beat the buzzer on this one. 41.5 win over under. Miami's favored by 5.5 in here. Tyler Shuck doesn't, I mean, not much needs to be said about him, but talk to me about Tua here. I have him as a QB2 this week, but I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of risk with player. Like, would you rather play Tua or Daniel Jones?
I think I'm going to go with Daniel Jones, even in a tough matchup. Like you said, Tua just feels like that guy that, yeah, he does have that upside, but every time you put him in your lineup, he's going to throw two picks and have like 150 yards. When he's on your bench, he has that game like against the Dolphins, right? The Falcons that he went off, wasn't it, against the Falcons?
Yeah.
I would much prefer to not have Tua Tagovailoa in my lineup. Like, if you need upside, I would go with Tua over Daniel Jones. But if you're just looking flat out, I want who is more likely to have more points, I'll go with Indiana Jones.
Cool. Devon Achane feels like he's an easy play. Last week was the worst week that he's ever given you all season. That's because it was bye week. Outside of that, running back 16 is the worst he's done all year. So tried and true there. Fine. What about the running back on the other side? We've got Devin Neal, Audric Estime over there, but Devin Neal was a huge pickup on waiver wires for a lot of people. Where are you resting on him this week?
Well, I don't know if you saw, this was like right before we started recording, but saw Devin Neal popped up on the injury report.
Oh,
let me see if there's any information. I'm really only comfortable starting him, even in this matchup, as a low-end RB2 with some upside.
Limited due to an ankle injury 2 hours ago. What in the world are we doing? Kendre Miller. Why just like you have so many opportunities if you didn't get hurt first.
And I love I'm a Kendre Miller stan. Like the guy is talented. But yeah, so for the sake of argument, let's say Neal suits up. I'm fine starting him as an RB2, but I think there's an extremely wide range of outcomes that wind up with about 3-4 points, or you know, if he gets to the end zone a couple of times, could have one of those crazy out of nowhere week winning spike weeks.
Yeah, we're gonna have to monitor this a bit more with the injury, but he might find himself more in flex category than an RB2 for me this week. Honestly, Taysom Hill might be somebody you need to watch out for. He led the team in rushing. I know it's gross, and without receiving options, it's kind of hard for him. But like he had 10 carries last week.
Cranberry sauce of fantasy football.
But the canned cranberry sauce. Like yes. Not even good, homemade by grandma, where right. Maybe it turns out pretty well.
Right.
Oh, this is, yeah. Juwan Johnson, I think, is a good play. Taysom Hill, if you are a dog in the matchups, sure.
I do like Juwan Johnson a lot. 5 straight games with 10 or more points, and the Dolphins allowed the third most to the position.
Nice. Jalen Waddle, Chris Olave, easy plays for you. And then Darren Waller, I don't think you want to play him.
Well, before we move on to Darren Waller, I hate to be that guy, but Chris Olave also popped up on the injury report today.
Dude, what are we doing?
I know. I don't think it as of now, when we're recording on Wednesday night, it didn't sound like it was serious enough to consider him a risk to miss, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, back injury limited at practice Wednesday.
That's what scares me, is that it's a back. Like I would, even if it was like a sore hammy or something, like it just being a back worries me.
Yeah, as long as he's not out, I'm probably still going to find myself starting him just the comfortability with the volume. But yeah, it's something to keep an eye on, folks. Gross. Who wins it?
Nobody that watches this game, but I'll probably say the Dolphins.
Give me Miami. They've been playing pretty hard for the coach. I do appreciate the effort that they've been running out there for 4-7 team. Next up, we've got the Jets. Talk about teams that don't try very hard. 4-7 Falcons against the 2-9 Jets. 39-point over-under. Juicy. Atlanta's a 2.5-point favorite. Yeah, folks, if you didn't notice, we had like a 50-point over-under on all of the island games during the weekdays, and they just left us crap here on Sunday. It's not great. But yeah, 2.5-point favorites are the Falcons. Again, we've got another game of a 36 and 37-year-old that I don't want to play either one of them.
Yeah, pretty much. Nail on it. And yeah, with you. And everybody's talking about the connection with Kirk Cousins and Darnell Mooney. If you watch that throw, I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't a Kirk Cousins leading him into the end zone. Mooney had to slow up a little bit and change direction. So don't get too excited.
Yeah, the connection of just the three catches there, folks. 74 and a touchdown looks great, but ultimately he only got 3 passes over to him without Drake London.
Drake London, one play accounted for 66% of his yards on the day.
Goodness. Drake London will be out of this game again, unfortunately. Hopefully we get him back next week. Usually 2 weeks for those strained PCLs is what it usually comes out to, so I'm hoping we get him back next week. Bijan Robinson, low-end RB1 for me, and Breece Hall, low-end RB2 for me. It's just so much talent, but the opportunity right now is not there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do. I actually like Breece Hall a little more than it sounds like you do, just based on what Atlanta has done against the run since week 10, giving up over 150 yards per game, close to 5 yards a carry, and a top 10 explosive run rate. I'm sure you'll agree with this, that he's got the talent. If he can rip one. And I think the way that the Falcons have played here recently, I think there's that he does.
I've got Breece Hall at 14. I kind of thought I had him a lot closer to 20, okay. But yeah, so maybe we are on.
Actually, I don't know. I don't know if I'd have him that high now. I've like the 16-ish rate. I mean, basically the same.
Yeah, it's kind of the same tier of player there. As far as wide receiver goes, Darnell Mooney, I don't think you have to play him. I think you have other options where you can pivot a deep 12-team league, like a competitive one maybe, but I think you can get out of this game without playing any of these players.
Yeah, I'm not looking at Darnell Mooney. I will say if you're in need, John Metchie has actually done pretty serviceable here recently. He had caught 6 of 7 targets for 65 yards and had a touchdown in his second consecutive game. Falcons have given up 4 passing touchdowns and the most passing yards in the league over the last 3 games. So I think he's a decent flex option.
And AJ Mitchell,
forcing him in the lineup, but it's one of those that you need somebody, you're looking for scraps, a warm body to throw in your lineup. You can definitely do a lot worse.
Yeah, 3 wide receiver, 1 flex or 2 flex league, I definitely think he fits the bill. It's unfortunate. AD Mitchell, 7 targets, and they're deep targets. He has so many air yards right now, but we're seeing the similar things that we were having issues in Indy, so maybe it won't work out. Tight ends, no. Hard pass on both of them.
Nope.
Who wins the game?
I think I'm going to give it to Kirko Chains and the Falcons. They're similar situation to the Dolphins. They seem to be playing pretty hard, even with all the issues they're having.
I'm going to go with the Jets. It seems like a very Jets thing to do. They're 2-9. They're in line to have a great pick, and why wouldn't they shoot themselves in the foot and watch the LA Rams get closer to a top 5 pick too?
I hope so. I hope they do, because the Giants are in contention for a top 5 pick. So
That's right. Forget and be rooting for them. Next up, we've got Arizona and Tampa Bay, the battle of banged up running backs. It's the 3-8 Cardinals taking on the 6-5 Bucks. 43.5 point over under, and Tampa Bay is favored by 2.5 in this one. Brissett, Mayfield, I've got one quarterback I want to play and one quarterback I don't.
I think we're probably in agreement, and I think the one we want to sit is the one for the home team.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield or Teddy Two Gloves, I don't care who it is. It looks like, first team reps are going to Teddy Two Gloves, so it might be Bridgewater out there. Regardless, I don't want to play Mayfield if he plays.
Yeah, he's just not played that well even before this. And I know it's non-throwing shoulder, so there's a better chance he could play versus if it was obviously if it's throwing. But the Cardinals haven't been a pushover. They've been a pretty tough matchup for opposing quarterbacks. And they've given up a decent amount of passing touchdowns, but yardage-wise, they've held quarterbacks in check. And over the total of the year, they've been pretty tough, so I'm with you. Whether it's Baker, whether it's Teddy, no thanks.
Yeah, I've got Brissett at 13, so he's just at that cusp of like where I still feel comfortable playing him. Let's dive into these running backs here. We've got Trey Benson and Bam Knight on one side. Trey Benson, as of this recording, limited in Wednesday's practice. So if Benson plays, are you playing him?
Yes. Not a confident yes, but yes. When this happened, it feels like the Will Fuller situation all over again. Like, this wasn't considered at least it wasn't, brought up as a long-term injury. Like, yeah, he might miss a couple of games. And looked this morning, because I have Trey Benson in a couple of leagues, he played 3 games the whole season and been out. But yeah, he was already getting work before James Conner went down. And it looked like he was going to get the heavy side of the workload when James Conner went down before he suffered his own injury. So, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable starting Benson as a low-end, a volatile RB2, which I think if he can come back and play like he was playing early in the season, I think he can have that high RB2 upside with a couple of RB1 games mixed in.
I think so, too. He had 15 targets in those final 3 games before he was out, but he's missed 8 weeks. He better be better hoping he's ready. If Benson sits, though, are you putting Bam Knight out there as like a RB3 flex?
Maybe. I just I've said it for a couple weeks now on my start sit that I really don't want to start any of the Arizona running backs, because it's like the Patriots wide receivers outside of Diggs. Like, somebody's going to have a good game, but good luck trying to figure out which guy it's going to be. And I just don't think the upside is there to make the risk worth it.
The report coming out is if Bucky logged full walkthrough on Wednesday, full participant on Wednesday, Reports coming out, though, the OC talking about he's going to kind of work him in there with the other running backs. So if Bucky plays this week, are you playing him confidently?
I will read you the first two, three sentences from Start Sit this week. Bucky Irving is expected to practice all week. An excellent indication he's got a real shot to return. Irving is the type of talent, if he's active, he's in your lineup, period. Limited snaps, tough matchup, missing a limb, it doesn't matter.
Nice. If I want to check out more of those Start Sit articles, where would I find that?
You would find those on QBList.com. Normally they come out on Thursdays, but for the holiday, we decided to surprise everybody and have it a day early. So also throw it on Reddit, whatever day it comes out, and answer questions throughout the week. And had some pretty good ones this week, I got to say. There was, you know what? While we're talking about it, I want to ask you the same question I was asked. It was between Joe Burrow. Well, I'll give you, it's a two-parter. So Joe Burrow or Jacoby Brissett?
Joe Burrow.
Okay.
I say that That's as what I said. The listeners have already seen it, so it's
Oh, I didn't even think about that, my bad. But I just want to see what you would say. And then this was the second part. I said the same thing. I said Joe Burrow. Well, I said Joe Scheisty, but that's because I'm lame. And then he said he's going up against Michael Wilson and Trey McBride.
Yeah, I still think I think Burrow has the higher ceiling, so I think I'd go with that. But I understand the strategy, trying to like big brain it a little bit. But
right,
if
and I'm with you, and that was kind of like I normally don't even entertain those decisions. Like I'm going to play my best guys regardless of who's on the other team. But this situation with so much of the target volume concentrated on those two guys, I get the consideration, but. It's PPR league. What if each guy has 8 to 10 catches and Greg Dortch gets the touchdowns or Marvin Harrison Jr.? Then you're really limiting your upside when you're trying to limit the other guys. So that's why I wanted to bring it up. It's just one of those scenarios like that really is a conversation. It's where the context kind of is important here. Like I said, I normally don't worry about who my opponent is starting from my lineup, but this was a different scenario.
Yeah, I agree with the strategy of don't get all absorbed with just you and your team and what's going on with you. Know what else is going up with your opponent, your next couple of opponents, stuff like that. But don't make decisions based on the other person. Because if they make bad decisions, then you're going to make bad decisions based on bad decisions. With the wide receivers here real quick, Marvin Harrison limited. If he comes back, are you playing him this week?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable. I got to say I still considered him a borderline wide receiver one because of the talent, but not anymore with the way that Michael Wilson, I don't think Michael Wilson's going away. I think you have to consider Marv pretty much middle of the road wide receiver two.
And then Michael Wilson's still going to be in your starting lineup with Harrison back?
Absolutely.
Nice. Trey McBride's going to be an easy play. Cade Otton, I'm famous fader of Otton, so get out of here. Emeka Buka, we got to talk about him before we get out of this one. I'm fading him this week. I love the talent. I love what he's out there. But whether it's Baker or Teddy, I'm trying to find a replacement for a Buka this week. Right now, I have him at 18. But like, would you rather play a Buka or Justin Jefferson?
Jefferson.
A Buka or Michael Wilson?
I think I'm going Michael Wilson.
Even just the hesitation there, folks. Even if you call us idiots and you say Abuka is so much better, but like this is serious times, and you probably have multiple options this week as far as like plug and play. So,
Is there anybody on bye this week? By the way,
yes. No, there's not. Okay. just my appetite. It's gone. It's non-existent this week. Who wins it?
Go with the Cards. I think the Cardinals will pull it out.
Give me the Cardinals. Next up, we got 7-4 Jags taking on the 1-10 Titans. 41.5 point over under. Jacksonville's favored by 6.5. Another game where I don't want to play the quarterbacks. But before we move on, quick question. Who has the highest quarterback weekly finish out of Trevor Lawrence and Cam Ward?
Oh. And it really hurts that you asked that question and I had that reaction because I was super high on Trevor Lawrence coming into this season.
Cam Ward. Cam Ward last week had a QB4 finish. Trevor Lawrence has not been above QB5. Yeah, it's his only finish inside the top 16 this year. But regardless, it is still better than any single week that Trevor Lawrence has finished this week. It's bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
The thing I like about Lawrence is how many rushing touchdowns the Titans have given up, and he seemed to all of a sudden be Jalen Hurts on the goal line and punching in on the ground. So, and Cam Ward, I think he's a dynasty buy because he's looked, if you watch the games, it's a perfect example of looking at the box score versus watching the games. He's made some pretty incredible throws. I mean, he's basically eating out of the garbage can with what he's playing with right now.
And this team's old. It's very old on the defensive side. They're most likely going to have the first overall pick, which Jacksonville had that a couple years ago where they went back-to-back first overall picks with Trayvon Walker and Trevor Lawrence. But, yeah, I like buying quarterbacks in this situation. Whether or not you believe he's actually good or not, I'm willing to buy him because you can probably get him cheap, and there's a better – like, he'll have a better season next year than not. Like, it's almost hard for him not to. Regardless, though, moving on to the running backs here. ETN, playing him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not that top five break, you know. I say breakout for ETN, but, you know, that break into the upper echelon of RB1s. He's a borderline RB1, high end RB2 based on, apparently I just hit puberty with my voice breaking. he's that borderline RB2, RB1 that, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable starting him.
Tootin just seems to be a handcuff. We got teased a couple weeks ago, and then last week came back down to earth. Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard, I don't want to own. Tajay Spears, I don't want to play.
Yeah, right, 100% agreed on both.
Man, what do we do with these Jacksonville wide receivers here? BTJ limited again on Wednesday. I guess rank these Jacksonville wide receivers as if Brian Thomas Jr. plays.
If he... This one hurts too because I love BTJ, but I'm going to go Jacoby Myers, BTJ, then Parker Washington. And honestly, you could throw all those names in a hat, pull them out, and just about any order you would say, I really wouldn't argue with you.
Yeah, I've got Parker Washington, Myers, and then Brian Thomas Jr.
But like, and I get it. I like Parker Washington a lot. It's just... I like what I've seen from Jacoby Myers, but I mean, it's tough, man. This hurts because I love Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see if we can get the controversy of, like, do they move him this summer? You know, does something happen before the draft? What's going on here? But wild stuff there. I think Parker Washington and Brenton Strange are really the two pieces I want to play here. Chimera Adike. Deep enough league, I could see putting him out there if you really need to.
Yeah, and I think Brenton Strange is I mean, the upside isn't there, but he's been a favorite target for Trevor Lawrence this entire season. And I think he's, unless you've got the Trey McBrides, the Brock Bowers, I think Brenton Strange is pretty much locked in as an every week start for tight end.
He feels like a safe tight end 10-ish. And I know that doesn't sound great or sexy, but it's enough. It's enough. Yep. I feel like he's going to burn you less than putting Kyle Pitts out there.
Right.
You know, Dalton Schultz, AJ Barner, Theo Johnson. I like Brenton Strange. He feels like he's got a safer floor, nearly 20% target share in this offense.
Yep, with you.
Who wins it?
I'm giving this one to the Titans. This feels like a very Titan thing to do. To win this game, and same thing, feels like a very Jaguars thing to do, to go into Tennessee and lose this game.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Jags, but I like the Titans to cover. They were tough against Houston just a few weeks ago. These divisional games are definitely rough. Going to the 4 o'clock slate. Next up, we have 4-7 Vikings taking on the 8-3 Seahawks. 41-point over under. Seahawks are favored by 11.5. Kevin O'Connell's got 99 problems, but 9 ain't one. Not this week. He's got a concussion. He's out. We got Brosmer. I think I'm going to call him Brosmer because I think we can have more fun with that.
He definitely looks like a Brosmer.
Sam Darnold on the other side. He falls into that startable quarterback one for me this week.
Yeah, and he's one that I'm perfectly fine starting, but I think I try to avoid narrative street, but I could see this being a scenario where he really doesn't have to air the ball out a lot. Minnesota hasn't been a great matchup for opposing quarterbacks, so I mean, if there's a blowout, they might just give the ball to Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm perfectly fine. Sam Darnold here.
That is true. That is very true. I didn't think about. Oh, you know what? I said I didn't think of that, and then I'm looking at my my blurb, and the first thing is we all love revenge game narrative. So obviously,
I could see a game where Sam Darnold throws four touchdowns, but he sees ghosts still from time to time. So I could also see where Minnesota, they know him. They know his tendencies where they try to cause some havoc. I still think Seattle should handle this game pretty well. Down here to the running backs, Aaron Jones, can't really go away from him. If they're dogs as they look like they should be in this game, I'm sure plenty of passing work should come his way.
Since there's no buys this week, I know we haven't mentioned that this show yet, but I'm trying to avoid him. It's just he's definitely got the heavier share of the workload, but they're kind of like a situation with Seattle earlier in the season. They're both doing just enough to really limit their ceilings. A decent floor for Aaron Jones, considering that he gets used in the passing game. And I do like what you said, considering there's a good chance that they will be playing from behind, but I would try to get him out of my lineup if I could, not forcing it, but if there's another option, you know, on your bench, if you get a Trey Benson back, I'd rather throw Trey Benson in there than Jones.
I've got Kenneth Gainwell above Aaron Jones this week.
Yeah. I like Kenneth Gainwell a lot. His involvement in the passing game.
What about Kenneth Walker on the other side? You playing him or Aaron Jones?
I'm going to Kenneth Walker.
Charbonnet, he's touchdown upside. I feel like he's kind of floor play. He falls in that like David Montgomery, Ramondre Stevenson, Kareem Hunt category. I mean, Kareem Hunt with Pacheco back, even though he's played. So ignore that comment. wide receivers, JSN. Let's start with that one. That one's easy peasy.
He's good.
Yeah, not too shabby. If you haven't heard of him, he's not too bad. Justin Jefferson, is he getting the fade treatment, or because nine's gone, you're willing to kind of like give him the benefit of the doubt of that wide receiver two ranking this week?
Yeah, that makes a big difference for me, because I mean, he's been pretty much quarterback proof. I mean, look at the guys that he was having throw the ball. Joshua Dobbins 2 years ago, and he was still doing fine. Like, we just need Brosmer, even though who knows if that's actually how you say his name. Just need him to be close to average.
I need him to be three quarters of a Nick Mullins. That's all I need.
that's a fantasy team name right there. That's phenomenal. But yeah, I think, yeah. And I even, like, I wrote it up, like, if this was any other wide receiver, I couldn't rank them any higher than a wide receiver three. But because of the talent of Justin Jefferson, I still got to keep him in that low-end wide receiver two range simply because of his upside.
Justin Jefferson or Michael Wilson?
Why would you ask me that question? Why would you do that to me?
I knew what the answer would be.
Michael Wilson.
Yeah,
with and without Marvin Harrison Jr. It sucks, but yeah.
Giants fan, let me hear it. Justin Jefferson or Wandale Robinson?
See, that's dirty, because it sounds like you're the same way with the Colts. I tend to be a little too harsh on the Giants, trying to not be biased towards them. Against the Pats in New England. Jackson Dart has a good chance to be back. I gotta go Wandale.
And Addison, for me, it's kind of a full fade. I've got him as a wide receiver four right now. Would you go Booty or Addison?
I'd go Booty. I'm with you. I'm pretty much full fade on Addison right now. It sucks crazy, because he's another one that's got the talent, man. But it's just
love the talent.
50, I mean, granted, nine won't be in there, but there's a good chance that he won't be, but 50% of his targets aren't catchable. Like, that's not his fault. Like, it's
Grody. Grody's the word you're looking for. Who wins the game?
The Vikings. No, I'm just playing. The Seahawks pretty handily.
Nice. Nice. Next up, got Buffalo at Pitt. It's the 7-4 Bills taking on the 6-5 Steelers. 45.5 point over under. Buffalo's favored by 3.5. Josh Allen. Finally, that's a quarterback name I want to play right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty comfortable starting that guy. I don't think you have to be too concerned about his first Thursday night football loss last week.
Aaron Rodgers, it looks like he should be back this week. Not that you're excited to play him, but more excited about the pieces involved for this game.
Yeah. I would prefer not to start him if in Superflex. If you have to, if you need somebody, I think it's fine. But, you know, DK Metcalf got banged up. He came back in. He went out. He came back in, went out. As of when I haven't looked at the practice reports for the Steelers. You know if he practiced
did
today?
Did not practice Wednesday. But okay. It's also Wednesday. It can be a dude's day. He's a right. Vet, so keep an eye on what looks like for Thursday and Friday will be the big tell-all for you.
If he's active, I think at this point you just have to consider him a boom-bust wide receiver 3.
DK Metcalf or Justin Jefferson?
You.
We're going to have fun with this.
I think I'll go Jefferson there.
Yeah, I think I would too. James Cook, he is going to find your lineup easy. Pittsburgh lets up quite a bit for the running back. On the other side, though, Jaylen Warren, Buffalo, bleeds points to the running back. So you have Jaylen Warren. Kenneth Gainwell is digging out a role, carving himself a role here, just like you did into your turkey. 10 for 92 last week, six catches last week, 7 the week before. I've got him as a fringe RB2 this week. I don't mind the pivot here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's definitely, I have a more of a flex RB2. I mean, border, which sounds like you're the same, but it's the thing that has me a little concerned of ranking him any higher than that is, what was it? How many yards on? It was a reverse two. Was it this week that he did the touch push? Yeah, he had 92 rushing yards, but 55 of those came on the fake tush push, just like Mark Andrews from last week. So, you know, it looks like he's got 10 yards per carry. Yeah, he technically does, but I'm not one of those people like, well, if you take away this play, like you can't do that. But that worries me a little for his floor to be able to rank him anything higher than a flex. I've got him in a couple of places. I'm starting him everywhere that I have him, but I think the floor is a little lower than we want to admit.
I like that. I like that take on him. Wide receivers, DK Metcalf, I'm willing to put out there. Can you name another pass catcher on either one of these teams that you want to even
Hines
look at?
Ward? Like Khalil
is he back again? Is he back? Yeah, I just
watched Batman, so I thought he had him on.
Dude, I haven't seen that Batman in a while. Khalil Shakir, I get it. Some people go to that well. He's just not a player I like to own typically. So
yeah, I'm with you.
8 catches, 110 yards last week. He had -3 the week before that, 58, 43. It's just, he's not going to win you a week.
Right. He's fine. He's okay.
And then tight ends, it's a hard out here. Dalton Kincaid possibly could be back, but he didn't practice Wednesday, so keep an eye on that. It's a hamstring too, so I don't even know if I want to risk it. Yeah. Just the first game back. Who wins the game?
I think the Bills get back on track.
The Bills are back. Hey, they've lost 2 of the last 3. They need to get back. This feels like a Steelers win, though. Just like the Steelers at home against the Colts, this team doesn't look good. They don't have any business winning the game. But I would love to see what this does to the AFC playoff picture. So let's go Steelers. Let's try to think of something faster and wittier, but I don't know. Yellow towel. There we go. Woo! Yeah,
don't you dare stomp on it.
All right. Next up, it's the last of our 4 o'clock game. It's the 2-9 Raiders going against the 7-4 Chargers. 40.5 point over under. Chargers favored by 9.5. And did you see that? Oh my! That is Omarion Hampton sighting. Look at that! Would you look at that, people? He's back. Geno Smith, we're not playing, but Justin Herbert, he has given us so much on the ground this year. You going back to him?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable starting him. He's got pretty decent wide receivers, I'd say.
Yeah, not bad. That blossoming tight end, rookie tight end, and of course, Omarion Hampton coming back to the lineup. Most likely. We don't have anything official as of this.
I was about to ask you if you'd heard anything that I hadn't, because I knew it's probable. One thing, I don't know if you've seen the video of him working out. You can notice one of his calves is a little smaller than the other one, you know, from not being able to use that leg. So maybe they give him another week to build some strength back up. I don't think that's the case, but you never know. Are you concerned about what they...
I was going to say, you know, they're just going to be calling plays just to one side, whichever that calf is stronger. They're just going to have them leaning into that one. That's the cut leg.
I was going to ask you, are you any concerned about, I think they said today that Kermani Vidal should still be involved. You think any concern there?
Yes and no. I could see them trying to do that, but I could see Omarion Hampton just kind of busting out of the gate and then just like, why pull him back? You know, why slow him up? It's reported that he should be a full go once he's activated. So as long as he's good to go, I've got no problem putting him out there in the lineup for me. Yeah,
I'm with you. I think it's one of those save face to not hurt Kamani Vidal's feelings type of things.
The other side, Ashton Jeanty kind of banged up the ankle a little bit in this past week. He's not on the week 13 injury report as of this episode. So that's a good sign. For some reason, he misses. Mostert would probably be the pivot piece. But again, folks, if you forgot, no bye weeks. You probably can go elsewhere other than Mostert.
Yeah, I'm not starting Mostert. Brock Bauer. He's active. He's in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. High-end RB2 for me. Greg Olsen will be taking over play calling, his third stint calling plays for the Raiders. Previous times when he's done that, Jared Cook led the team in targets. And who's the other guy? Darren Waller. Let the team in target. So I imagine Brock Bowers is probably looking at like a 40 to 65% target share going forward.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I think if there was any concern about him not being one of those elite tight ends, which was silly anyways, he's going to get fed even more.
I'm fading the Vegas receivers, but on the other side, you've got Ladd, QJ, Keenan Allen, Oronde Gadsden. Who are you willing to play and in what order is it?
Definitely going Ladd, and Gadsden, I think, is pretty much similar to, who was it? Much higher upside, but to the point of strange that he's not necessarily elite like the Trey McBrides, but he's in your lineup every single week. And between QJ and Allen, I'd probably go QJ just because of the upside, but I think they're both flex plays. Yeah, I'd probably say QJ over Keenan Allen, but it's closer than it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I agree with you. Gadsden, he feels very floor-ish of strange, like you said. You know, a nice 3 to 5 catches could be in that like 60 to 70 yard range, but he also has the talent to get you over 100 yards. He has the ability to kind of break away, so I really do like playing him. I'd like to get him in most of my lineups. Outside of that, it's Ladd. I'm kind of out. I got Ladd at wide receiver 12. QJ I've got as a wide receiver 3, and Keenan Allen, buddy, you were an amazing pick. You did great things for me, but you're in that breath with like Jaden Higgins, Kayshawn Booty, Jimmer DK for me. I really don't want to have to play him.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Alrighty, who do you have winning this one?
Sorry, you asked me right as I muted the mic while I was talking.
All good, all good.
Gonna go with the Chargers.
Yeah, 9.5 points. It's a divisional game, but they're at home. I think they can get it. They'll take care of business. Next up, we got Washington. We got the 9-2 Broncos. Ew, they're not a 9-2 team, but that's a different conversation. Playing the 3-8 Commanders, 43-point over-under. Denver's favored by 6 in this one. I mean, we're getting mixed messages here. Like, the fact that Denver, the line opened up at 6.5. It's moved to 6. Jaden Daniels, limited practice on Wednesday. I don't think he plays. I don't think he plays. It looks like he's coming back in week 14.
Week 24? I wouldn't be surprised, but.
Goodell's ears just perked up a little bit there. I'm saying week 24.
Light bulb.
Right. Mariota, so if he's in, or Jaden Daniels, both of them have a bad matchup against Denver. I'm sitting them both, regardless who the quarterback is.
I don't think Daniels will be in, but he, for me, is one of those guys. If he's active, I'm starting him. Necessarily the smartest way to go about it, but he's that type of talent for me.
Yeah, it'd be hard to rank him much lower than like QB 13, 14, but
yeah.
It's grind time, folks. Only a couple of weeks till the playoffs. Depending on how bad you need the win, I think kind of tells you whether or not you have to put him in there. Bo Nix, struggling in year two. Has not looked good outside of his team record, but I like him this week. I got him as a top 10 play.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. The Commanders have given up 13 passing touchdowns in their past four games, so... yeah, I think I'll take the chance on Nix.
RJ Harvey in his first outing without J.K. Dobbins, 11 carries, 30 yards, 3 targets, 3 reception, 20 yards there. It was against the Chiefs. I'm willing to kind of brush that off a bit. He's got a more promising matchup here. RB2-ish?
Yeah, I think he's a high upside RB2 with a pretty much non-existent floor. I like him. I think there's it's one of those scenarios. Everybody's all hyped up about a guy getting his chance and does okay. And then everybody's like, oh, this guy's terrible. Get rid of him. I made a trade for him in a league. So I'm hoping that bought a little low and hopefully that he can, because he got a pretty decent schedule down the stretch, if I do remember correctly. But I think he's fine. RB2.
Chris Rodriguez on the other side. Some people had to kind of lean that direction and waivers. I'm with you, though. It's a hard matchup. I think you got a better option out there, folks.
Yeah, even if there weren't, if there actually were buys this week, I don't want any running back in this offense.
Yeah, he's the only one I'd be looking at out of the three, out of him, Bill, and Jeremy McNichols. But it's rough if you have to go that direction. What are we doing with the wide receivers here? We've got Sutton and Franklin on one side, and then you got Debo and Terry McLaurin on the other. I mean, Terry McLaurin, I don't believe he's going to play this week.
They said there's a decent chance he might.
Plans to play Sunday night. Okay. I'm not playing him. Jaden Daniels could be in. I don't want to play Terry.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, the way he's looked this year, he's a guy that I wound up pretty much fading this year just based on where you had to draft him. And yeah, I'm with you. Going against the Broncos, Jaden Daniels, no Jaden Daniels, no thanks. Debo, I'm fine as a wide receiver three based on his usage in this offense. You know, put him, he's really been the go-to guy for Mariota, even when McLaurin's been active. Sutton, I didn't want to admit it because I have a fair share of Sutton, but I do think there is that changing of the guard where Franklin's becoming more of the 1A versus the 1B. Against the Commanders, though, I'm perfectly fine starting both as wide receiver twos.
Yeah, I've got Franklin as wide receiver 24, Sutton at 27. Franklin would be the wide receiver one if Bo Nix was better. Like, he's getting plenty of action, plenty of targets, but they're just not being completed because they're subpar targets, so...
Yeah,
I don't have any problem with them as like kind of wide receiver two flexing. And unfortunately, on that Washington side, the bright light that was shining through the Denver defense is now being shut down. The curtain is back. Patrick Surtain looks like he will be back in this game. Okay. And so he's not going to follow Debo. That's just not how he works with Debo. Right. But it's going to limit production, man. This defense just got a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. I knew he was potentially coming back. I didn't know he definitely... was suiting up. So that's good because I scooped up the Broncos defense in a lot of places that got dropped last week. So I'm starting
him. Sure did. Who wins the game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Broncos pretty handily. Even with Bo Nix struggles, I think that defense is good enough to shut down the Manders.
They should obliterate the 6-point line. But for whatever reason.
Should. I heard the should in there.
Should. Because the Broncos don't look like, I mean, granted, I don't think there's any team that looks dominant this year. Rams are as close as I think you get, but all of these teams have chinks in their armor there. So none of these are foolproof, but they're 9-2. They're only 5-6 against the spread, though, this year. Like, it's wild. Wild stuff. What else is wild is, I mean, we've replaced Brady and Eli Manning with two athletic guys. Like, look at this new Giants-Patriots rivalry. It's going to be between two athletes. I love it. It's I love crazy. It. 2-10 Giants going into Foxborough playing the 10-2 Patriots. It's a 46.5-point line or over-under. Patriots favored by 7 in this one. I got a couple quarterbacks here that I am easily putting in my lineup in Jackson Dart and Drake May.
I have three. If Dart's not in there, I am perfectly fine throwing Jameis. In famous Jameis. So, I mean, how can you not, like? He might wind up starting like two games total for the Giants. I still want to buy his jersey. Like, how can you not just love that guy? And I selfishly want him back with the Giants, but I hope he gets an opportunity to start somewhere. But yeah, I'm with you. Dart is, you know, when you say must start or every week start, people automatically assume, oh, you know, top three, top five. No, but he's got that floor. He's got that upside with his rushing that I don't see too many matchups that I'm not willing to put him in. And even the Patriots defense has been phenomenal this year. I'm perfectly fine with it.
He would be a top three, top five every single week if he had half of his teammates, if Neighbors and Scadabo were out there. Absolutely. But still, the guy's giving you QB 3, 7, 13, 3, 3, 16, and 11 in his starts. That's gold. It's gold, as Goldmember would say. running backs here. Tyrone Tracy has looked excellent over the last 2 weeks, so he finds himself as a solid start for me.
Yeah, and the thing that I really like about Tracy is he actually got some goal line carries this past week. Had zero coming to the game, got two. He had all of the targets, and yeah, I think with this kind of usage, I think Tracy is a borderline RB2 flex play. I'm perfectly fine starting him pretty much everywhere.
Henderson should get the same treatment. You know, I've got him right back into my lineup, excited about that. Ramondre Stevenson, though. Is he just a thorn Henderson's side, or is he still a piece you're looking to, like, willing to play?
Yeah, I think he's more of a thorn in the side of Travion Henderson, because I don't know how much you saw of the Patriots game this week, but Travion got him down to the one. Hey, let's give it to the undrafted free agent. And then he gets stuffed. Then let's go to Ramondre twice. Then he gets stuffed. Yeah, I don't understand Mike Vrabel, but yeah, I'm not interested in starting Ramondre. I do think his hand has been forced by the performance from Henderson that he is giving him the majority of the carries. And I think it's pretty much he's going to steal some touchdowns here and there, but I actually have Hendo ranked pretty high. I have him number three. I feel like he's going to have a big time game against the New York Football Giants.
I've got him at seven this week. I like the bold call, though. Real quick, just to make fun of Stevenson, do you think he had more carries last week or rushing yards?
Ooh, carries.
He was 6 for 5.
Yeah, there we go. I love it.
You suck. No. wide receivers here. Wandale Robinson. I hope they continue to use him as more of a downfield player. Like, for most of his career, he has been locked into that 5 catches for 30 yards, 6 catches for 84 yards, 3 for 48, 6 for 62. Give me this 9 for 156 business, the 8 for 142 that Jameis, oh no, that was actually the Russell Wilson game in week two. But like, get me these deep down the field stuff. Dayball's gone. They're calling plays a little differently. So hopefully that's how they continue to use Wandale. Wandale will be going into, this is year four for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is a contract year for him.
Is it five?
Well, I don't think they've extended him yet, so I think this would be...
Oh, yeah, that's
this
right.
Would be four. He's a second round around. Pick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, he needs to go put on a show. They need to see if they're gonna keep him, bring him back, because obviously, like, we got to let this whole Slayton thing die. Like, we just got to kill this whole Slayton thing. I love the guy. I've appreciated what he's done, but, like, come on. So Wandale Robinson, wide receiver 2 for you this week?
Yeah, it's kind of like I didn't even realize it's the same team and all, but just like I was saying, like, Dart's a must start, even though he's not a high-end QB1. If there was ever a such thing as a must start wide receiver 2, I think that's pretty much where Wandale is at this point.
I'm pretty sure somebody tweeted out his stats and Justin Jefferson. They're like,
yeah, I saw that too.
Ridiculous. The other side, Booty came back and Diggs went away. I don't know what happened, if it was a direct correlation of Booty, but Diggs just had a huge drop in routes and snaps last week. Are you playing either? Are you playing both? How are you looking at these two wide receivers?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those games that guys have sometimes. I'm still comfortable starting Diggs, especially against the Giants. I actually have him as a top 12 option this week. Oh, wow. And I think between the others, Booty, Holland, Douglas, Williams, I think they're all options at flex, not necessarily saying I want to start them, but against the Giants defense, who's just bled points to wide receivers, I could see any one of them, you know, more than one of them having a solid game. But I think that Monday night, I think we're going to see a pretty big game from Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs is a fringe wide receiver two, wide receiver three. Booty's a low-end wide receiver, but like he's that 12-team league. I play three wide receivers and a flex. You plug mm-hmm. him in there for that volatility to kind of take you over the top player. Hunter Henry, tight end one on the week last week. See ya! Yeah, he's back on waivers for me. That was a one-week thing. He pops up every now and then, but I don't like to play with that. Honestly, I'd rather play Theo Johnson on the other side. He's a high-end tight end two for me, but one of those like DFS guys that can bust off with a touchdown for you.
He played the Bengals. Like, I think you and I could score a touchdown. Well, maybe not me, but you could probably score a touchdown against the Bengals.
If I could just do Trevor Lawrence it and just reach it across the goal line, I could totally pull that off. Up above them where they couldn't reach. Yeah.
There you go.
I do want to preface this, though, folks. Will Campbell, their fourth overall draft pick, their left tackle, their lineman, he's gone. He's gone for a bit. I would not be surprised, like, I mean, kind of jumping already to the game picks. It's a 7-point favorite. I have the Giants covering. I think it's so easy to take the Giants to cover. The Giants have played so, they're not a 2-10 team. This is a 5-7 team, I think, especially if they keep most of their pieces. They've played so well. They've just lost at the very end, which they should. Honestly, they should. They want the better draft pick. So it works out well.
Static.
As you should be. But I think this smells like a trap game. I could see the Giants winning this. I could see Drake May struggling a bit just if the pressure gets to them. This is a great they put great pressure on the ball. On the flip side, though, this might just be better for Drake May, because if they're busting through that line, forcing him to scramble, maybe we get over this crap of him spreading out the ball, playing good quarterback, and playing team football. No, dude, be selfish and win me a championship.
Win. Exactly. No, I'm with you. And like we've touched on a few times, I take pride in making sure that I don't let my fandom impact my analysis whatsoever. But I'm with you. I think that the Giants can keep this game close. As we know that it's the Giants, Patriots, it doesn't matter how good or how bad one of them is, it's always close. And I think that, yeah, I think especially if Dart comes back, it's a pretty decent shot. They upset on Monday night. But I just got to say, I don't know what kind of fan you are. I'm the type, you have to, some want, they want to win the moral victories. They want to win every game no matter what. No, I want, if the Giants aren't going to win the Super Bowl, which obviously they are not, I don't want them winning games. I want the high pick. This is perfect. Like, there's never been a more perfect scenario as a fan of a team that is overall been terrible for the past decade plus. Keep it close. It looks like we finally have a future, but we're in line for a top five pick. Like, I love it.
Honestly, I sometimes think I'm the wrong kind of fan. Colts fan, Peyton Manning fan. I will argue till I'm blue in the face that he is the greatest quarterback of all time. But I will tell you, watching the Colts Super Bowl that they won, it's my third favorite Super Bowl. My team, I got to watch them win a Super Bowl. It's only my third favorite Super Bowl. My two favorite Super Bowls are the Giants wins. Why? Because Brady freaking lost. I hate Brady so much, so much that I'd rather watch him lose than see Peyton win. That's how bad it is. He ruined childhood growing up football for me. Oh, Brady.
I mean, how you really feel. But I love it. I love that. That's a true football fan.
I could do a whole.
Maybe we do a little that in the offseason. Do some Brady hate pods. And Nick probably wouldn't like that, though.
I can do a whole series on that. Yeah, Nick probably wouldn't like that. Oh, I've given him my rant, though. I've thrown it at him. Oh, man. Well, folks, that's it. That's going to wrap it up. We got through the remaining 12 games for you. If you're looking for more, make sure you check out the rankings there over on QBList.com. All of the amazing articles. And of course, we've got Jay's start sits. We've got the streaming. We've got buy, sell. So much happening over there on QBList.com. Football.pitcherlist.com. Jay, what else you got for the people? Where can they find you?
On the Twitter machine at GmanJay, and check out Wait on Monday mornings. Well, more like Monday afternoons. Sunday best podcast, 10 to 20-ish minutes. pretty much the biggest happenings from Sunday's games in a nice, neat little package. Get you in and out, done pretty quick.
Everyone loves that. Everyone loves that. This will be the last episode for the week. We'll be back to our normal schedule the following 4 weeks up until we get to the week of Christmas. But folks, we can't thank you enough for being here. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're here, like, subscribe, share the pod. It helps it move along. Just not to your league mates. We get it. You got to keep it a secret. But yeah, check us out there over on QBList.com. Check out Jay on Monday, and then you'll see me back on Tuesday with the Waiver Wire episode.
Go eat some mac and cheese.
Later.